Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. We have just so much to entertain and enlighten you with. We have so much with which to entertain and enlighten you tonight. Hey, right before the program, I'm watching the tail end of Keith Olbermann, and I see this commercial. I've seen it before. It's very well done. Excellent commercial about the emptiness inside of us all. And, you know, it's a topic we don't talk about too much, but we're all looking for the same thing. Truth. And then the word comes up on the screen. Scientology. Jesus Christ. Truth? It's a great commercial, but Scientology and the truth are about as close together as Glenn Beck and suicide. Well, that's close. Glenn Beck and the truth. Oh, my God. Science. Great commercial. I love the commercial. You know, you look at it, just go, oh, yes. What is this about? Oh, oh. What? Scientology? Oh, my God. Whole different topic. From the August 12th edition of the Nazi-ish Premier Radio Network's The Glenn Beck Program, we're going to play a little clip here for you. This is Beck on people laughing at the death panel claims when Barack Obama had his town hall meeting. Was it yesterday? And, you know, that question came up, and he made some comment about it, and folks laughed. Well, Glenn Beck just seized on that like somebody reloading his .38.
He was saying yesterday in this meeting that that nobody's going to snuff out your grandma, and the crowd was laughing. Well,
because that's ridiculous.
You laugh all the way to the, what did Sarah Palin call the death panels? You laugh all the way to the death panels. Go ahead. Laugh all you want, America.
Jesus. I mean, how sick is this? Laugh all you want, America. On your way to the death panels. Oh, my God. And this guy. Well, I'm getting information that more and more advertisers are getting away from him. What did Olbermann say tonight? Is it three or four insurance companies have bailed out of the Glenn Beck programs? And when you are in the middle of a period when the insurance companies are being rejiggered where it concerns their perpetual fraud, to lose them as an advertiser when you are a right-wing freak like Beck speaks volumes. Kate Snow tonight on ABC News with Charlie Gibson. I was watching Charlie, and Kate Snow was the reporter. She did a report on the crazy people that are now running these deceptive anti-health reform ads. The subject was the level of lies within these ads. The ones that are being run by the Swift Boat people and the teabag people and the psychopaths. So, you know, the ones that listen to Beck and Limbaugh. And as part of the report, they had Dr. Tim Johnson on, who is the ABC television radio, or I'm sorry, resident physician. I kind of like to listen to Tim Johnson. I don't know anything about him except when I've seen him on ABC News with Charlie Gibson. He usually has something well thought out to say, regardless of the topic. So Tim Johnson had just sat there and debunked all the lies. Because the questions were asked right before Kate Snow's piece, Charlie was asking Dr. Tim all these questions about the claims, the death panels, and the getting into your checking account, all this garbage dog squat that Beck and Tribe have been putting out there. Well, and of course Dr. Tim just sliced and diced them. So then Kate Snow's piece ran, and then she comes live, and after her piece ran, Kate Snow says to Charlie, Charlie, there are a lot of charges from both sides that cannot be proved. And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I'll be a son of a bitch. They just spent 3.5 minutes They had a live shot with Dr. Tim. They had a 2.5 minute piece by Kate Snow. 2.5 minutes on network television is an eternity. Debunking these crazy bastards, and Kate Snow comes back on. I wonder that would ABC, did the senior editor say, well, now, Kate, you've got to bring balance, so say this. Lots of charges from both sides that cannot be proved. And I'm sitting here thinking, all right, Kate, give us one from the other side. Give us a charge from the people who want health care that cannot be proved. Go ahead, Kate. Come on, goddammit, you're a journalist. Do it. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Well, I don't know. I just get so tired of network news, and you know, you expect nonstop wall-to-wall garbage on the cable channels, with the exception of a few programs on MSNBC. But dear God, I mean, come on, Charlie, this is network television, man. You have what, 8, 10, 20, I don't know what the number is, 8, 10, 12 million viewers every night. You're paid what, 8, 10, 12 million dollars a year to sit there, and you, in fact, as most anchors are on these programs, you are the senior editor, and you know what's going to happen. You know what Kate Snow is going to say. You know what her package is, because you looked at it before you went on the air. You know what she's going to say, and you're going to sit there, Charlie Gibson, and allow your reporter to say lots of charges from both sides that cannot be proved. And you're going to sit there and stare in the camera when she's finished and say, okay, Kate Snow, thanks for that report. Moving to Afghanistan, it's ongoing. You know, just when I think that corporate television news programs might be starting to do what they are charged with the Constitution to do, and that is provide a free press. A free press meaning an organ, an instrument within which people can exchange ideas, where the truth can come out. Just when I think that's about to happen, Charlie Gibson introduces a piece with Kate Snow, and Kate Snow says, lots of charges from both sides, Charlie, that can't be proved. Oh, my God. All right, I'm getting quite a few emails from people who have either have observations about these town hall meetings, or who have actually been at them. And I'm going to share some of those with you tonight when we come back from the break that we have coming up here in just a few minutes. Oh, and did you see the fat white man who reached across at one of these meetings, one of these ridiculous meetings, ran across the aisle and grabbed, it was Senator Claire McCaskill's healthcare town hall meeting, and there was a clip that made the news of a woman being half escorted, half dragged from the building. But what that didn't show, and the entire video is up now, what it didn't show was this fat, ugly white man who ran across. He was sitting on one side of the an aisle, and the woman was sitting on the other side of the aisle. And all of a sudden, the fat white man jumps up, runs across the aisle, grabs something from the woman's hand, and runs back to his chair, waddles back. This, I mean, just one of those people you just want to laugh at. And he sits down and starts ripping up what he took from the woman. The woman is trying to get it back. The woman is escorted out. The fat white guy disappears out of the range of the camera. What this son of a bitch had grabbed from the woman was a poster, a picture of Rosa Parks. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. 21 past the hour. So apparently we had another technical problem. I don't know if you heard the Glenn Beck comment from his program today, but maybe we can get that queued up. And if we can get it queued up and play it again, we'll play it for you. Have you got it there? Go ahead.
He was saying yesterday in this meeting that that nobody's going to snuff out your grandma,
and
the crowd was laughing. Well, you,
because that's ridiculous.
You laugh all
ridiculous.
The way to the, what did Sarah Palin call the death panels? You laugh all the way to the death panels. Go ahead, laugh all you want, America.
That's Glenn Beck today, the psychopathic bastard, picking up on the Sarah Palin madness. And, I think it's clear that no matter who lays out the truth of any of the charges that are coming out from these right-wing crazy people and these teabagger organizations and these Swiftboat organizations. No matter how often, no matter how clearly they're refuted, no matter how much logic, common sense, truth you try to inject into what is becoming just an absolute nervous breakdown around this issue, these swine like Beck and the rest of these people, the swine will continue to put this stuff out. The swine will continue to try to freak out the most vulnerable in our society, people who normally are not listened to that much. You know, the elderly, people who may be ill, people who are physically challenged, young family members who are not all that educated. Glenn Beck, the son of a bitch, knows who his audience is. He knows how easy they are to manipulate. So does the pig man. So does this filthy Rush Limbaugh. And Sean Hannity, all of these people, they understand how easy it is to scare their audience, to manipulate their audience, to freak out their audience, to say things that are just made up, that are insane. Like Sean Hannity the other day saying that Barack Obama was going to hire Black Panthers to go to these meetings and stop the righteous Republicans who just are looking for the truth. And the whole thing. The whole thing is just, God, calm down. You know, this really is not my fight. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why I get so upset about this. It's insane. I don't know why you get upset about it. You know, this garbage is going to continue. There's absolutely no way to stop it. If Glenn Beck loses every single filthy corporation that advertises on his program, then the Heritage Foundation will step in, or some of these right-wing organizations will step in and make sure that the money is paid. And Premier Radio Networks, they don't give a goddamn. As long as they get the money, they will put this garbage out, this propaganda out, just like Rupert Murdoch. He doesn't care what's on Fox News Channel as long as the revenue's coming in. And if every single company in America pulled out of Fox News, which they won't, but if they did, then Murdoch would just throw his own billions into it. There's no way to escape this, in other words, you see? There's no way. And yet, these subhumans, like the terminally insane Beck and Limbaugh and the rest of these people, will tell you, as they take millions and millions of dollars, they will tell you, well, Obama's going to reinstitute this horrible fairness doctrine. And you know, if there's fairness, that means it will kill talk radio, right? You know, I wonder if they understood the irony of what they were saying. Of course not. Never mind. Forget I said that. But they put the garbage out there. And the people who are so screwed up that they listen to pigs like Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity. they then immediately start sending off phone calls or emails to their member of Congress. Oh my God, don't let Barack Obama end talk radio. Don't let him end my grandmother. Don't let him end my Down syndrome baby. Don't let him murder us all. He's going to murder us all, and he's going to murder talk radio. Oh God damn! This is what they do. This is what they do. And this filth, they claim that, you know, their freedom of speech is being challenged. Oh, my God, give me a break. I'm out of here. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. So some of the, a couple of the emails that that I'm getting here. First of all, back to that, to what I was talking about right before the break. The video is out there if you want to see it. You can go to Huffington Post. And if you do a search, Rosa Parks poster should get it for you, the video, or YouTube or wherever. Anyway, D. Evan, D. well, I can't do that now, right? I'll just say D. wrote. This is, y'all want to be careful when you put your last names on. D. in somewhere far away wrote, this is for all those who insist that this whole I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take any more tirade is just people mad about health care. What in the heck does this man tearing up this woman's Rosa Parks poster have to do with health care? She wasn't even holding it up. She had put it away and was showing it to someone who asked her to see it. Then this man walks over and tears it away from her. And all day long, most of the media were making it look like this woman was the one causing the disturbance. And now we see the truth. So much for race that having anything to, at all to do with this. I hope the same media that tried to portray this woman as a troublemaker now will set the record straight. They will not, D. They will not. But if you look at the video, it's from Senator Claire McCaskill's healthcare town hall yesterday. I guess it was yesterday. And what the clip failed to catch was the woman. The woman was provoked. She and a few other women had brought posters to the town hall, but then rolled them up after being booed and berated by the crowd. When the woman unrolled one to show to a journalist, a man in the crowd rushed over and tore it up. It was a poster of Rosa Parks. When the woman moved to take her poster back, the police stepped in and escorted both of them from the building, but only the woman made national news. So if you see the video, you see this ugly white man. This is so typical. And again, if you don't think all of this is about race, then you're a fool. You're just a fool. And I'm sorry to say that, but you are a fool. Everything that has to do with any kind of dissent about anything about Barack Obama, this birther nonsense, this teabagger nonsense, this health insurance reform nonsense, all of it is about the fact that there's a black man who's the president of the United States. And the truth is, it's going to continue. I was listening to something on one of the channels today There's a writer who has a book. I guess it was what's his name in the afternoon on MSNBC. No, not him. Not the Rush Limbaugh wannabe. The other guy. Schuster, Neil Schuster. And Schuster had on a guest who has a book out about how the Secret Service is utterly and absolutely failing to protect this president. And all the excuses that they're giving. And he made the statement that he is shocked that Barack Obama, that he's still president. He cited as an example the, was it Chicago Cubs baseball game, White Sox Cubs, I don't know, where Obama went out on the mound, and nobody in that stadium had been screened. Nobody had been screened. Nobody had been put through a metal detector. I mean, son of a bitch. All Dick Cheney has to do is get up and go take a leak, and people would jump up and, well, look in the bathroom. Look behind the door. Look over here under the couch. What about up here on top of the ship road? Over here in the closet. Okay, is it safe for him to pee? It's safe. Go pee, Dick. Or go pee, Mr. Vice President. Barack Obama steps into a stadium in front of 40,000 people, and nobody's been screened. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I think there is an internal effort to kill him. I really do. I think, you know, when you can have a swinish piece of human waste like Beck all over radio and television, when you can have a crazed drug addict like Rush Limbaugh, when you can have whatever Hannity is, I don't even know anymore. When you have these people. And all the B-listers on right-wing talk radio and television constantly banging the drum for violence against this president. You've got to understand that somewhere along the chain of command, the word has gone out. Anything goes, boys. Say whatever you want. Man. This is from Cheryl in Burbank. She writes, Mike, last night I attended a town hall meeting held by my representative, Adam Schiff, who represents parts of the San Fernando Valley of the L.A. metro area. The police estimated there were over 3,000 people in attendance. Schiff is a blue dog, but his correspondence shows that 70% of his constituents are in favor of insurance reform, and he insists that the status quo is not an option. There are hundreds of police officers at the event. They walked through the crowd, guarded the stage with a human wall of cops, and they watched from the rooftops surrounding the area. I thought Congressman Schiff would have worn a bulletproof vest. He didn't, and I felt he was particularly brave to have held the meeting. It was held outdoors, and no one was searched for weapons. It was very scary to walk around with so many angry people screaming and shouting, many of whom were wearing Second Amendment T-shirts. I stayed on the edge of the crowd so that I could run if anyone started firing a gun. There were dozens of people at the meeting handing out Nazi propaganda, holding Nazi signs, and distributing Nazi booklets. I had heard this was happening, but I hadn't heard who was doing it. I asked every person who approached me, who paid for your booklet? Who paid for the printing? And they all proudly admitted that it was paid for by the Lyndon LaRouche PAC. I didn't even know he was still alive or creating mischief. The booklets they distributed had a glossy cover with a photo of the Nazi high command with President Obama interposed into the picture so that it looks as if he's standing next to Adolf Hitler and chatting with him. It was an extremely offensive picture, and I saw many Jewish audience members grabbing the booklets, ripping them in half, and shouting their rage at the offensive comparison. It was an extremely expensive printing job, and the group had thousands of copies to hand out. The scariest part was that most of the LaRouche people were young men in their early 20s. I chatted with many of them, and they truly believe that Obama will start killing the mentally ill, the terminally ill, as the Nazis did. With one boy, I pointed to the large crowd and I said, these people here today, we're your neighbors. We live in your community. Do you think we would stand by and let such an atrocity happen in America? He said, yes. The meeting was one of the most pointless but most interesting things I've ever done. It was completely frightening. And today, I have great fear for my country. So do I, Cheryl. And I had this posted at my website the other day, quoting Robinson, who has written about, she wrote it, it was posted first at alternet.org. about the five stages of fascism in this country, bears repeating. The third stage, is she calls it being there. All through the Bush years, progressive right-wing watchers refused to call it fascism because, though we kept looking, we never saw clear signs of a deliberate, committed institutional partnership forming between America's conservative elites and the emerging homegrown brown shirt horde. We caught tantalizing signs of brief flirtations, passing political alliances, money-passing hands, far-right moonbat talking points flying out of the mouths of so-called mainstream conservative leaders. But it was all circumstantial and fairly transitory. The two sides kept a discreet distance from each other, at least in public. Now the guessing game is over. We know beyond doubt that the teabag movement was created out of whole cloth by astroturf groups like Dick Armey's Freedom Works and Tim Phillips' Americans for Prosperity, with massive media help from Fox News. We see the birther fracas, the kind of urban myth-making that should have never made it out of the pages of the National Enquirer, being openly ratified by congressional Republicans. We've seen Army's own professionally produced field manual that carefully instructs conservative goon squads in the fine art of disrupting the democratic governing process. And the film of public officials being terrorized and threatened to the point where some of them required armed escorts to leave the building. We've seen Republican House Minority Leader John Boehner applauding and promoting a video of the disruptions and looking forward to, quote, a long, hot August for Democrats in Congress, end quote. This is the sign we were waiting for, the one that tells us that, yes, kids, we are there now. America's conservative elites have openly thrown in with the country's legions of discontented far-right thugs. They have explicitly deputized them and empowered them to act as their enforcement arm on America's streets, sanctioning the physical harassment and intimidation of workers, liberals, and public officials who won't do their political or economic bidding. This is the catalyzing moment at which honest-to-Hitler fascism begins. It's also our very last chance to stop it. Sarah Robinson, whose essay the other day, lengthy essay on, on fascism in America, you know, when she says that all through the Bush years, progressive right-wing watchers refused to call it fascism. Well, goddammit, I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't one of those progressive right-wing watchers. I started calling it fascism the moment that these brown shirt bastards went down to Palm Beach County and started beating on the windows to stop the vote counting. And I know a lot of progressives, if Sarah Robinson and some of the other media types who considered themselves progressive and had a chance to scream back in the year 2000 when some of us, a couple of us, were screaming about this incipient fascism, and she didn't then, and her friends didn't, her writer friends and media friends, then shame on you, Sarah Robinson.
It's More Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. From today's edition of the Merced, California Sun-Star, Dateline is Atwater, California. City councilman's email included joke about killing Obama. City council member. It says, violent and racist email jokes alluding to the assassination of Barack Obama, the killing of Latinos, and violence against black people were forwarded by Atwater City Councilman Gary Frago during the last 6 months, according to more than 200 new emails obtained by the Sun-Star from the city of Atwater. The councilman, who forwarded the newly obtained emails to city staff and a county supervisor, among others, has been under public pressure to resign since it was learned in July that he had sent other racist emails in late 2008 and early 2009. one of the most troubling of the new Fargo emails forwarded in January, joked that Nokia had designed a new cell phone for, quote, nervous white people, end quote, who want to make calls in a series of cities known for their large black populations, such as Oakland and New Orleans. The phone is a gun. Merced County Supervisor Mike Nelson and Atwater's Assistant City Manager Stan Feathers both received this email. Neither recalled the email, they said. Another email forwarded by Frago on December 9, 2008, was in the form of a fictitious letter sent by Senator John McCain to John Hinckley, Jr., the man obsessed with actress Jodie Foster, who attempted to assassinate President Ronald Reagan in 1981. The letter said that Hinckley would be released soon, and he should know that Obama was sleeping with Foster now. Atwater City Manager Greg Wellman was the email's only recipient, and he said he doesn't recall receiving it. You see, it's stuff like this. Every single bit of this is race. Every single bit of it is about race. And people like Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh should be flogged for what they're doing, because they are consciously and deliberately trying to destabilize the society. They are consciously and deliberately trying to get people to take up guns and shoot each other. Limbaugh, Hannity, and Beck, and the rest of their scummy, filthy ilk are trying every trick they can think of, everything, to cause violence in this country. And I think that's one of the reasons so many advertisers are pulling away from Beck. They ought to pull away from this lard-ass son of a bitch who is going to choke on his throat fat, Rush Limbaugh. And they ought to pull away from Hannity, too. All of them. That's what they're doing. And they do it for sport. These guys don't have any political beliefs. They don't give a goddamn about anything. They're wealthy. They're above the fray. They're millionaires. They don't care. You know, when the shooting starts, they're fine. They just hop on a private jet and, oh, I don't know, go to the Bahamas or something, wherever the hell they go. But they do this for sport. Incite people. Cause rioting and screaming and yelling and mayhem. Give people permission to strap on a goddamn gun and go someplace where President Obama is trying to explain health care, telling people that, oh, yeah, they're going to kill your grandma. This is deliberate and conscious, and these sons of bitches do it for sport. They don't care. It's great fun. And this wild-eyed suicider Glenn Beck and this crazed drug addict Rush Limbaugh, why do people listen? Because they're stupid and they're ignorant. Oh, man. Jim writes, I'm calling churches, asking them why they are not out there in force, calling for civility in town hall meetings. Jim. Well, Jim, I hate to be the one to break the news to you, but they wouldn't call for civility. They don't give a damn what goes on out in the real world. I mean, good luck. I certainly think that, you know, it might be a good idea. But churches don't care. The fundamentalist Christian churches, these big mega churches, they want chaos just like Beck and Limbaugh. They want it. Remember when Limbaugh tried to incite riots at the Democratic convention in Denver? These people want rioting. They want shooting in the street. Remember when Limbaugh referenced Chicago 68? And said he hoped to see it again. Remember? They want murder. They're inciting rioting. They're trying to put people against each other. And they're doing a goddamn good job of it. Don't count on the churches. Churches couldn't care less. The churches, you know their attitude, the fundamentalist, dominionist churches? Yeah, bring it on. Maybe if enough killing, Jesus will come back. And then we can all ascend naked on the rapture. Good luck in contacting the churches, Jim. It's pretty astonishing. Well, Maria Allwine has a guest commentary at BuzzFlash that I'm going to share with you when we come back after the break, too. It comes to me via Bridget. And a bunch of other stuff. I hate to to feel this impotent. You know, if there was an invader that came into my country that did the things that Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and the rest of these people are doing, if it were an invader came to the country, I would be one of the first to pick up a weapon and start killing. I really would, because it's my, and I know a lot of people say, well, that, you know, Jesus, you can't do that. Oh yeah. Oh, certainly I can. I would be like the Viet Cong. I would be like the, anybody who feels invaded, who resists. And I would resist. If this were, if Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity and their filth were outsiders, I would do everything in my power to stop them, and that includes shooting them. But they're not. See, they're Americans. They love their country. They're patriotic. They pray to Jesus. And they're just trying to bring liberty and freedom and justice to the United States. Right?
Men, are you?
It is 7 past the hour on the Malloy Show. This is funny. Les in Glendale, California writes, Mike, at the Adam Schiff Town Hall meeting in Alhambra last night, a guy was wearing a T-shirt with this. I knew you'd enjoy. And the T-shirt said, when you get raptured, can I have your car? Yeah, I do like that. I do. Jesus. Somebody showed up with some humor at one of these right-wing lynch mob gatherings? Christ. And an email from Elaine in the Poconos, who, after she writes her emails, signs it, Elaine in the conservin' nut Poconos, who's seriously considering for the first time on getting a gun. Yeah, well, I hear you on that. Anyway, she writes, remember the woman, Jerry, the one that said Obama equals the Antichrist and Armageddon is here and so on and so on? Remember, Jerry? I ran into her at the store about 30 minutes ago. I guess she'd finally given up on me as far as trying to convince me. She no longer offers to help with laundry, and she stopped calling me, which is fine. I normally have low blood pressure, but after talking to Jerry for 5 minutes, my head and heart are going to explode. I knew she was a Glenn Bastard fan, but naively thought that she'd agreed he was an entertainer, not a journalist. To make it short, she told me that I am the one being brainwashed. Now, this is what stunned me, though, besides even her dire warning that me, disabled with a genetic order, will be one of the first to die. This is what she said. She said it was clear that she, her friends and family, have decided that, quote, Glenn Beck is the closest we'll ever get to Walter Cronkite and complete truth in the media, end quote. Mike, well, I'm not exactly a believer. I don't hesitate to say God help us all. Elaine and the Poconos, who's seriously considering for the first time of getting a gun. Whew, man. Craziness abounds. Christ, I wish Hunter Thompson were alive. Yeah, this thing about Bachman, her son, is joining AmeriCorps. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Tom writes this. It's kind of interesting. Mike, I really like your show, although I'm sure there are lots of people that may not agree completely with you on everything. Like myself, I find we have a lot of commonality in a lot of our views. I married into a Christian conservative family last year. They're all good people, but have almost completely bought into the Fox News Kool-Aid. You know, if I believe what I saw on Fox, I would think like they do, too. I really believe that we need to do something about Fox and Rush. I think we should start a boycott of their sponsors. Their audience isn't that large as a percentage of the population. I guarantee you that if the people that make up the progressives stop using their sponsors' products, it would hurt worse than if all their audience did. Think about that. This is the only way to stop those bastards, and I really think we could do it. You could start with your show, and we could do an email campaign and get the message out to the other shows. I think if we put them out of business or make them change their ways, they need to be stopped, Mike. Thanks. Tom and his last name. Well, such a thing is already afoot. This program is simply not on enough stations to generate that kind of activity. But colorofchange.org.com, I think, is one of the websites doing that. I mentioned it last night. I don't have it right in front of me, but that. That would be the place to do it. No, I agree. I agree, Tom. But it has to be someplace that has much more traffic, so to speak, than this program. This is from Bridget. Mike, found the following guest post this morning on BuzzFlash. I vacillate between being horrified, though not entirely surprised, and being glad that the monster is finally out in the open where we can see it in stark reality. Given that the attitude of these mobs is not only in these town halls, on the airwaves, and on the streets, but in the halls of Congress as well, I'm more inclined to cut Obama a lot of slack for not moving as fast or as decisively as I like to see on a number of issues. He spends every day standing up to a lynch mob. And this was written by Maria Allwine. I'll just share a little bit with you. On Monday night, Maryland Senator Ben Cardin held a town hall meeting at Towson University just north of Baltimore. A longtime BuzzFlash reader and Baltimore activist Maria Allwine provided this account. I was at the protest before Monday night's town hall meeting on health care hosted by Maryland Senator Ben Cardin. Here are my impressions of last night. I went to the rally and got there about 5:35. Already there were signs posted saying the event, a huge line already waiting to get in, had reached capacity. I hope members of Health Care Now of Maryland were there early. The organized right-wingers were there in droves. I estimate, and I'm not the best guesser, at least 1,000, maybe more. They were bussed in from all over Maryland, from what I was hearing. There are maybe 500 of us, perhaps more. Again, a guesstimate. Osler Drive was lined up on both sides for a very long way, but the majority of them were the right-wingers. They were all along the west side of Osler and a good deal of the east side, where we were. I'd be interested to read the estimates from a more reliable source than myself. I've never seen such hatred, vitriol, and racism in all my life, and I do not say that lightly. It made me physically ill. I could stand the heat, but I couldn't stand the hatred and the racism. We all read about it. We know it. But having it in your face in such large and angry numbers is hard to deal with. There were posters of Obama as Hitler, the Democratic Nazi Party. Keep your laws off my body, except for abortion, I asked, and various and sundry examples of ugliness. Some Lyndon LaRouche supporters, along with anti-immigrant and tort reform people. Also a lot of killing the elderly, euthanasia type signs. And of course, our favorite, no socialism. As I looked across Osler at the people, they were screaming and angry. And they often came over to where we were to provoke us, and to just outshout us. The comments to me as I walked up and down with my signs were appalling. Ugly, ugly, ugly. I'm telling you this for a reason. Folks, this is not about health care, anything remotely resembling policy on or any particular issue. This is about the naked anger of the right wing being out of power and not accepting a black man as president, combined with their own racism. It's thinly veiled at best, but it is racism. I venture to say that this is the least thinly veiled racism I've seen in a long time. They have taken the gloves off. When people say, I work, I'm not paying for anyone else, that's about African Americans and Latinos, period. I stated so to a couple of young women, and of course they countered me with extreme anger, and then one took my picture to show her children what's wrong with America. I worry about that. These people love to post pictures of people they want to make targets. Later, I asked one older woman very calmly, she was calm herself, if she cared about other people besides your own family and loved ones. She looked me in the eyes and said, no, I don't. I was lost for words. I heard over and over people saying, I work. I don't want to pay for anyone else. And a lot of, and I also heard a lot of, healthcare is a privilege, not a right. And you people just keep wanting more. A lot in that vein. And of course, excoriating socialism was a favorite. I asked one man who was screaming at us how he could live with so much hatred every day. He whipped around and yelled at me, I keep it coming every day. He was so angry, I thought he was going to have some kind of an attack. These are people we see on the street every day. I've worked with them. And when I say they're filled with hate, I don't exaggerate. I finally had to leave around 7 p.m. I couldn't take any more of the ugliness. I was literally sick to my gut. Make no mistake, these people are lying and have been told to lie. They have no facts and are not dissuaded by those who do and want to discuss them. There's no engaging these people. They're way beyond that. They're not, that's not what they're there for. That's why I say we must stop discussing policy and start discussing strategy and tactics. In my opinion, we, the progressives and the members of Congress who are with us, are making a mistake by ignoring these people. This is not about the people at these events. It's about who's controlling them. And that is the wealthy elites who will do anything, including destroying what's left of the democracy we remember, to protect what they have. The corporations who control Congress and who actually rule this country, and the extremists who are driven by hatred and racism. They're working together, and if we don't develop an effective strategy and new tactics to counter them, this country and us are doomed. There's an excellent article on Alternate regarding fascism. I haven't read it yet. I urge you to do so. There's a little bit more here, and I'll share it with you when we come back from the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
Before I go back to this, have you got the Glenn Beck, he wants to strangle Michael Moore thing again? Play that one more time.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore, and I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody to do it. Oh, I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know? And I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do? And I've lost all sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore. And then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, he wouldn't kill Michael Moore. At least it wouldn't choke him to death. And, you know, well, I'm not sure.
Under the USA Patriot Act and all the counterterrorism measures that were signed into law during the Bush reign of terror, this son of a bitch should be jailed. He really should. I mean, I don't understand why the FBI, the Secret Service, Department of Justice, or the county or the state federal prosecutor, wherever this pig lives, why they haven't moved to arrest him and charge him with terror. He's using the public airwaves to talk about murdering Michael Moore. Jesus Christ. And he just keeps on keeping on, doesn't he? Of course. Back to the what was posted at BuzzFlash from Maria Allwine, who attended a town hall meeting at Towson University conducted by Maryland Senator Ben Cardin. Maria writes, there's an excellent article on Alternet regarding fascism. That's the one we keep referring to. If you haven't read it yet, I urge you to do so. We've all talked about this over these past years, and we all worry about it, but I think this article is absolutely right, and I think we better pay attention to what is happening right underneath our noses. It might be reassuring to say that these people are fringe, the minority, etc., but it's not just them. It's the most powerful moneyed interest in this country who are bankrolling and controlling them. The angry mobs are the stormtroopers, and they are the angriest people I've ever seen. They're happy to be controlled and happy to do the bidding of their masters. In my opinion, they would be happy to do away with the likes of us. Think we aren't about to lose what's left of this democracy? I urge you to think again, and then I urge all of us to rethink our strategy and tactics. The first thing we need to do is call what is happening by its right name, fascism, over and over again. And we need to call out the corporations and bad actors who are bankrolling these people. Here's another good article which mentions the Baltimore law firm's involvement with Dick Armey and its lobbying efforts to kill health care reform, not to mention the enormous sums of money they're raking in doing it. Scroll down to the Freedom Works and the K Street Lobbyist paragraph for info on a once venerable Baltimore law firm. This is the kind of thing that needs to be exposed in the media and talked about. The only way the media will discuss it is if we discuss it constantly. I hope the report from inside Senator Cardin's meeting is more positive than mine. I'm posting this because what I witnessed tonight must be a wake-up call to us, not something to ignore. This will not go away, and indeed, will only get worse. And then a comment from someone inside the meeting, Jonathan Inskeep, made this comment today. I made it inside. I also attended Ben Cardin's town hall meeting Monday. I arrived 3 hours early, but was still behind a long line of Republicans. I did make it in, however. The hatred and racism inside was the same as you describe outside. Before our senator completed his first sentence, people began yelling and screaming, liar, liar, and far worse things. When several of us asked people to shut up so we could hear the senator, a woman behind me poked me repeatedly, informed me that I was going to hell along with Obama. She then went back to her yelling and screaming. The disruptions continued through the entire hour and a half. I heard the vilest, most racist, disgusting comments I've ever heard in my life. On the plus side, I did not witness any physical violence, although there were constant threats of it, and I was nervous the entire time that it would break out. Jonathan and his full name and MD. And Bridget, who sent me all this, said, I'm sad beyond words, Bridget. When people talk about no one has been warning about the smooth fascism, I think about, and again, I'm not saying, oh, look at Mike, but I will guarantee goddamn to you that I started talking about this, like I said, 9 years ago. And I can remember even the people I worked with later at Air America, like Al Franken, laughing at me. Al Franken was so irritated by what I was saying about the move to corporate fascism in this country that when we were both on Air America together, he notified the company that he would not allow promos for my show to be played within his program. You know, those little blips that say, hi, this is Mike Malloy, join me tonight. Al Franken said no. That's why, you know, I didn't say anything good or bad about Al Franken during his run for the Minnesota Senate. But I wouldn't give a tinker's damn whether he won or not. I really wouldn't. But, you know, he did win. You know, I've kind of been out there on the edge. I've gotten thousands, tens of thousands of emails calling me a son of a bitch and my wife a whore and my child a piece of human waste because I've been doing this now for 9 years. So when I start to read these blogs or these articles now about, yoo-hoo, hey, fascism is coming, you know, it kind of pisses me off. I'm not going to go after other liberals or other progressives. No, you know. But where in the goddamn hell have you people been for the past 9 years, huh?
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
No, that's Lyndon LaRouche, not me. I'm not inside your head. 25 before the hour. All right, this is what Beck said today. Keeping alive, so to speak, the threat to old people and sick people and ignorant people, the charge from Sarah Palin that the Obama health care plan includes death panels in front of which you have to appear and who will make decisions about whether you or grandma or your child is to be euthanized.
He was saying yesterday in this meeting that nobody's going to snuff out your grandma. And the crowd was laughing. Well, you,
because that's ridiculous.
You laugh all ridiculous. The way to the, what did Sarah Palin call the death panels? You laugh all the way to the death panels. Go ahead. Laugh all you want, America.
Yeah. Laugh all you want, America. Beck should be arrested under the provisions in the USA Patriot Act, under the terrorist acts signed by George W. Bush. He should be put on trial and locked up for the rest of his worthless goddamn life. He really should. Regarding the death panel, Prairie 2 writes, you're before the death panel day, panel every day. There are death panels. There is little or no chance that your life will not be cut short by one of them. In corporate headquarters around the world, they callously make decisions that will kill you. Insurance companies that pull your plug don't behave any different from any other corporation. You're nothing to them but grist for the mill. Cigarettes, of course, lead, heavy metals in the coal smoke, millions of tons of pesticides, corn sweeteners in the food, and on and on. You can track the advent of every major disease that plagues us by the introduction and expanded use of something we really don't need that makes some corporation a lot of money. Take 2,4-D, a broadleaf weed killer. 50 years ago, they really pushed it as safe because it was just a hormone that made the weeds grow themselves to death, growing twisted and malformed until they die. That should have been a clue. You've probably heard of its close cousin, 2,4-5-T, or Agent Orange. You wouldn't spray Agent Orange all over your lawn, or would you? You do, or your lawn service does, and so do all your neighbors. They know it is a direct contributor to cancer, especially in women, but they still marinate us and our food in it every day. Why? Because it gets rid of the dandelions, and it makes it possible to grow corn with a few less farmers. Oh yeah, and it makes the people that own a big chemical company rich. Prairie2.com. So I get an email here from Dave in San Mateo, California, and he writes, the subject line is minor league crazy. I don't get it. But anyway, he says, Mike, as I sit here and fret about the insanity being spewed by the right-wing nut jobs, I try to think back six to eight years for a little perspective. In the middle of the Bush regime, we faced the prospect of a permanent Republican majority, total subversion of the rule of law, right-wing Christian dominance, and the ultimate slide into textbook fascism. Are things better or worse now? I don't really know. Do you have any comforting words, Dave, San Mateo? No, I don't have. In the middle of the Bush regime, we faced the prospect of a permanent Republican majority. The Republican majority was just the Republicans are just butt boys for corporate America. The handmaidens, no offense to women, but the handmaidens of corporate America, that's still there. It's still there. a lot of Democrats are the handmaiden, the butt boys of corporate America, too. Oh, my God. So the permanent Republican majority is kind of a misnomer. It's a permanent corporate majority, and I'm afraid that has already happened. I don't know what it'll take to get rid of that. One of two things, either full-scale, full-blown revolution or getting corporate money out of our political system. I would choose the latter, frankly, because it would be a lot less painful. But in order to get corporate money out of our political system, the members of our political system have got to vote for empty pocketbooks. And I don't know, you know, how are they going to do that? They were put in office by corporate America. 95% of them were put in office by corporate America. So what are they going to do now? Pass a law that says no more money from corporate America? So that part's lost, I think. You add total subversion of the rule of law. Is that not still going on? The last I heard... all those fascist laws and rules, not unlike the fascist rules and laws introduced by Hitler once he took power, all those fascist ideas introduced by George W. Bush, probably 98% of them are still in effect. Nothing has been repealed. Okay, Obama said they're closing Gitmo. Really? Let me see. Yep, Gitmo's still open. Barack Obama talked about the horror of unfettered surveillance of Americans, phone calls, emails, you know, let me see. Yep, still going on. Are things different about the rule of law? Not yet. Maybe it's coming. Like Bridget said, you know, she wants to give him, Obama, the benefit of the doubt, cut him some slack. Yeah, me too. Right-wing Christian dominance, you mentioned. I'm reading the book right now, The Family by Jeff Charlotte, Sharlett. The Family. The Family. Read The Family, and I think you'll find that right-wing Christian dominance has increased. Not decreased. And the last thing you say, the ultimate slide into textbook fascism, that's already occurred also. If you pick up a history book, you pick up an American history book, American government book, if you pick up a book on science, and the slide into textbook fascism has picked up steam where it concerns science, where it concerns paleontology, archaeology, physics, chemistry, biology. All of those are under attack by these sick, crazed sons of bitches who insist that God created the earth 6,000 or 7,000 years ago by, I don't know, just making it happen, right? So can I give you any comforting words? No, Dave, I'm sorry. I sure can't. Do you remember that kid, Julia Hall, little girl who asked President Obama a question at his town hall meeting on healthcare yesterday? Remember her? Remember that little kid? And I didn't think Obama really answered her question the way he should have. I really don't. But according to Raw Story, this child may be the most hated 11-year-old among conservative pundits in America today. Ever since she asked Obama a question, the conservative punditocracy has unleashed a torrent of criticism against the child, accusing her of being an Obama plant. What the 11-year-old asked the president when the microphone was handed to her is this, quote, "As I was walking in, I saw a lot of signs outside saying mean things about reforming health care. How do kids know what's true? And why do people want a new system that will help more of us?" End quote. All right, that was her question. I happened to be watching when this little girl, well, she's not a little girl, she's 11, when this child asked the question. And Barack Obama had a chance to knock that softball right out of the park, and he whiffed it. His answer, he sounded like he was answering, you know, an adult who had asked a question. He did not address the signs outside saying mean things. He didn't answer how do kids know what's true. And he didn't answer why do people want a new system that can help more of us. He really didn't. I forget what his answer was, but I kept thinking, okay, he's really going to lay into the answer. And he's going to tell this child, I think the little girl meant what she said. You know, how do kids know what's true? Well, I could come back to this 11-year-old and say, well, Julia, you know, how can the adults you saw standing out there, they don't know what's true. They're drones. They're monsters. They're people who would like to step on you. And I'll prove that last bit when we come back, when I finish telling you what the right-wing punditocracy is saying about this child.
Don't need to be teaching no biology. You'll learn all you need to learn at my ministry. And pay no attention to the slanderous lies. I never had my hand between that young boy's thighs. I'm with the God Squad, so listen good. Hear my battle cry down in Hollywood. I'm with the God Squad. Yes.
You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it
hard.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's More Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. All right. This 11-year-old little girl, Julia Hall, who asked Bush, oh my God, just reading something about that psychopath, but who asked Obama at his town hall meeting yesterday, little girl said, as I was walking in, I saw a lot of signs outside saying mean things about reforming health care. So how do kids know what's true? And why do people want a new system that can help more of us? That was what the little girl asked. And like I said, Obama did not answer. But anyway, at Raw Story, it goes on, the president responded with a long polemic on the false rumors that the health reform bill before Congress would create death panels that would deny medical care to the elderly. So on his radio show, Rush Limbaugh said the president's town hall meeting was a stacked deck. That thing in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, he said, was totally phony. The little girl that asked a question is the daughter of a huge Obama supporter. End quote. That's the pig man. At Dakota Voice, a blogger, a Dr. Theo, alleged that he could see, quote, a mysterious woman mouthing the girl's questions as the 11-year-old spoke. The blogger pointed to a video purportedly showing a blonde hair woman, quote, a blonde hair woman to Julia's mother's left, who is mouthing the words as little Julia speaks. Who is this woman? How does she know exactly what Julia is about to say? End quote. While the video shows the woman to Hall's left moving her lips as Hall spoke, it's not clear that she was mouthing the girl's words. An article in the Boston Globe notes that Julia Hall's mother had to write down the question beforehand. Manning Hall, that's the little girl's mother, said she was shocked when her daughter asked a question of the president. Nonetheless, Travis Anderson at Boston Comms Your Town blog writes, nonetheless, quote, the critics point to campaign donations and other partisan links that the girl's mother, Kathleen Manning Hall, who was an early Obama supporter and donated money to his campaign, end quote. Author and pundit Michelle Malkin, it should be author and goddamn psychopath, Michelle Malkin pointed out that Kathleen Manning Hall, the girl's mother, quote, has donated thousands of dollars to Obama, as has her law firm. End quote. Added Michelle Malkin, quote, "Now look for Dems to play the kitty human shield card to the hilt. Anyone who mentions Hall's political pedigree will be attacked as a vicious, meanie stalker," end quote. No, Malkin, you're a goddamn psychopath. That's what you are. Go away, you crazy-eyed woman. Just, you know, like that. Another one of those Curb Your Enthusiasm. What was it? Crazy Eye Killer. That's Michelle Malkin. Back to Rostroy. The comment betrayed, that comment, Malkin's, betrayed what is perhaps the explanation for the anti-health reform movement's criticism of the young girl, a photogenic 11-year-old becoming the poster child, perhaps literally, for the health care reform movement could damage the Republican effort to derail health reform. An editorial in the Mooney-owned Washington Times seems to follow this line of thinking, quote,
"The most insufferable moment of the town hall meeting was when 13-year-old Julia Hall,
thus,
from Malden, Mass, read a question from a card about seeing, quote, a lot of signs out saying mean things about the health reform and health care," end quote. The editorial said, "It's a sad commentary on the health care debate that the president has to resort to this kind of stunt to attempt to insulate his plan from criticism," end quote. That's from the Washington Times, that is owned by the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, one of the big backers of the prayer breakfast thing that the family writes about. And the Reverend Moon, of course, claims to be Jesus. And, of course, Hannity and Beck and Limbaugh and the rest of them go right along with that. Back to the Raw story. For her part, Julia Hall appears to be happy just to have been part of the debate, telling the Boston Globe that talking to the president was, quote, incredible. She said, quote, "It was like a once-in-a-lifetime experience," end quote. But Limbaugh and Malkin may be unhappy to hear that the sixth grader told the Globe, quote, "She'd like to run for office someday, maybe even for president," end quote. She said, quote, "It would be awesome if I could work in politics," end quote. Yeah, Michelle Malkin, I don't mention her. Every time I look at her face, her eyes make me go all gibbety. I mean, Jesus Christ, what is wrong with that woman? You know, she makes millions. She hangs out with Limbaugh. She hangs out with Beck. Works for the same sewer that Beck works for. Christ almighty, get your eyes fixed, will you?
Hello! He's attacking Michelle Malkin because she's a Filipino!
No, I'm attacking Michelle Malkin because she's a goddamn psychopath and her eyes are just gibbety-gibbety. She looks like some kind of a crazed, crazy-eyed killer. Go ahead, baloney. Write about that one. This is from John. He writes, "Mike, I started listening to you when you were still on WLS. The only reason I would be tuned to an AM station. You were warning your listeners at that time about the danger of George Bush possibly becoming president. Of course, the country acted as if it were blindsided, but you read the symptoms correctly. The next thing, you were dismissed from WLS and the rest is history. Here we are 9 years later. I listen to you on the internet now and am still saddened and chilled watching the country I love in peril. I'm an Hispanic American whose family has fought for this country in four wars. I chuckle at these so-called white patriots. My father and uncle served with honor in the 82nd Airborne, 101st Airborne, 1st Cavalry, LLRP. I bet a lot of these patriots would not even know what alert was. Anyway, thanks, Mike. Let's stay calm and take it one day at a time. John." This is the Malloy program. You know what we're talking about tonight? We're going to open up the phones if you want to call in. 877-996-2556. What else we got here? All right, here's another email. This is from Kay in San Francisco, who is a school teacher. And we saw her in Seattle, she and her husband, when I was out there last weekend. We had some Chinese food with Bob and Arminda and Jude and Bob's daughter and son and the daughter's boyfriend. And who else was there? It's a nice little group of us sitting in a Chinese restaurant, family-style restaurant in Seattle. Wait, you don't want to call? And we were talking with, I was talking with Kay and her husband, Jim, and she sends a lot of emails to the program. We usually read most of them on the air because they're usually good. You know, she's, like I said, she's a school teacher. We started talking about, hey, we need a education correspondent. So maybe that will happen, huh? I had to remind her there's no pay. This is the Malloy program, you know. You contribute your creativity like Bob does, like Bridget does. Oh, Bridget. Oh, my God. Sorry, Bridget and John were there, too. Whew. I'm just all hung up on the ugliness, I guess. But, you know, I'll tell you, I know everybody who listens to this program who are progressives or liberals or whatever. You know, you have a circle of friends that you hang out with. Man, I wish I lived in Seattle or San Francisco or where John and Bridget live, because, you know, getting together with these people, you've heard their work on this program. Bob Alexander, who, you know, does The Moment with Bob and produces the Gumshoe series, another one coming up of those, by the way. And Bridget, who writes, what do we call it? Bridget Speaks. And her husband, John, who is this just unreal artist. Go to their website, fairywoodland.com, fairywoodland.com, and take a look at his artwork. His three-dimensional construction. He makes fairy houses. It's incredible. And Jude, who is with a peace organization in Seattle, Women Standing. And Nick, who Bob's son, who is, 9 or 10? 8 or 9? And his grown daughter and her boyfriend. And then Jim and Kay, you know. you sit around and have dinner with people like that who are... who are progressives. You know, you have the same kind of friends. You know what I'm talking about. And I guess that here in Atlanta, it's getting harder and harder and harder to, it really is, to find people who are as tuned in as those people I just mentioned, politically, who are as tuned in spiritually. And I know to a lot of you, to hear the word spiritual on the Malloy program, it's just like, because I don't use it. But I mean something entirely different by that, I guess. But all of this just leading up to to reading the piece that Kay sent me today. I'll tell you the truth. I frankly wish that everybody that listened to this program would have a chance to meet these people. I really do. And I know you have friends that you wish the hell that I could meet, and the people I just mentioned, they could. I do. I get that. I really do. You know, I don't have a franchise on, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 listeners/friends who are the hippest, most spiritual people on earth. Not at all. You know, your friends are the same way. But it was just... it's so good to see these people. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Mike and Kathy, thanks for providing me with an icebreaker idea for the first day of class next week. I usually do something like getting to know you bingo or find your map buddy, but this year I'm putting a different spin on it. As everyone knows, teenagers love to talk about their rights. A typical example, my mom is hella messed up. Oh, hella, by the way, is a Northern California word that teenagers use. It means very or extremely. My mom is hella messed up. She told me I couldn't see that horror flick, but it's a free country. Kids, they're also very much into the idea of free speech. At all hours of the day, with no limits, they chat, they pass notes, they send each other text messages, they scream hi to their friends in the hallway, etc. I better stop now. I'm getting a headache just thinking about facing this next week. Anyway, I'm going to start all my classes with an exercise on the concept of freedom. We'll discuss what it means and come up with some examples. When we get to freedom of speech, I'll play the clip of Glenn Beck threatening to kill Michael Moore. I can already hear their reactions. WTF? That's so messed up. We'll talk about the clip, and then we'll have a discussion about the idea of limits. Should there be any? Why? Why not? I'm going to make a prediction. I believe that my 15, 16, and 17-year-old students will overwhelmingly agree that Beck's statements do not fall into the category of protected free speech. Teenagers have a very keen sense of justice, as in, but that's not fair! And I believe they will understand what that means in this context. They will conclude that it is not fair for one man to publicly threaten to murder another and remain on the airwaves. We'll see, but I'll bet you I'm right on this one. I would also bet that given the chance, my students would act more responsibly than Fox News by yanking that insane son of a bitch off the air for making death threats. As my husband said last night, quote, this is just like O'Reilly inciting people to kill the doctor in Kansas. One of them finally did, end quote. Yes, this is exactly like that. And kids get it. Far too many so-called adults don't. Kay in San Francisco. Well, every year when we go out to, or when I go out to Seattle for the AM 1090 forum, or go to San Francisco because Green 960 wants me to come out and do a stand-up gig or whatever, especially the Seattle thing, because it's so family, you know, it really is. We always think about taking Kathy and Molly. It's just so damned expensive to fly out there, and the station pays for it, but I hate to, it's not really fair to say, hey, I will pay for my wife and kid to come out too. But eventually we're going to do that. Kathy's going to come along and Molly will come along. I wish they could have been there the other night. And I know I'm rambling, but it's just that doing this program, sitting in the studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, you kind of lose perspective after a while. It kind of seems like there's just this huge tidal wave of garbage that is dumped all over us by these right wingers. And to an extent, that's true. To a certain level, that's true. But there are, you know, just islands of sanity all over out there. You know where they are. These are people you hang out with. These are people I hang out with, in a manner of speaking. You know, I don't hang out with a lot of sane people because I don't hang out. I just don't do that anymore, right, Kathy? I mean, I spend an awful lot of time here, putting in fence or, playing George Bush, you know, cutting brush or, cleaning out this hideous stream or ditch, whatever the hell it is, behind our house. And I just, all of a sudden, I'm just not real interested to get out and about. I spend time, like this week, my granddaughter Lauren is here, hanging out with her aunt Molly, who's younger than she is. That's really something. We go someplace, and I've got a 7-year-old Lauren, who is just such a sweetheart, and 5-year-old Molly, and the 5-year-old is calling me Daddy, and the 7-year-old is calling me Grandpa, and people are looking and just kind of shaking their head, and you know what they're thinking, oh, Jesus, just a typical hill country family, I'll be damned. We'll be right back to your phone calls. Stay with us.
time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Quick email here from Steve the Banker, you know, who calls in periodically, who has the horrific job of letting people know that the financial problems they thought they could handle, they can't. Anyway, Steve writes, Mike, me, a 53-year-old professional banker and human being, and one of my best pals back in Jersey, he's 76 now, Korean War vet. He has been a liberal from the day he was born, and from the day I met him in 1984 until today, we've never stopped fighting for liberalism through Reagan, Bush 1, Bush 2, and through all the hell of the right wing. We will never stop fighting because of those who need us to fight for what's right, those whom we have bombed, those who we have silenced, those who we have denied civil rights, those who lost their jobs or health care. We will never stop. Steve in Massachusetts. And this one, this is from, well, she or he didn't use a name, but I think I know who it is. But anyway, this is what it says. The subject line, race is the bottom line. Email says, I've been waiting for someone to just come out and say it. Thank you, Mike. I haven't seen this kind of strident, inarticulate rage since the Clinton administration. But because the racial element and firearms is involved here, I'm very afraid. Anyone with half a brain knows better than to utter the N-word in polite company, but I'd almost have more respect for these people if they would just go ahead and put it on their picket signs. I wish they'd just be honest about it instead of these convoluted outbursts about health care. They're not angry about health care. What's really going on is they're out of work, they're broke, they're in debt, and on top of that, it's finally hit them that the President of the United States doesn't look like them anymore, and this is not some nightmare they can wake up from. There's no precedent for this, and they are bugging the F out. These town halls and demonstrations at the beginning of the 2010 midterm and 2012 presidential elections, the GOP, as usual, has no real platform to run on or viable candidates to run, so they're playing on the fear and anger of the base. Unfortunately for us, the base appears to be made up of the lowest common denominator and fringes. Yeah, that's so true. Steve is in Long Beach, California. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. You have great insight into this issue, and I just want to add in that both Republican and Democrats, we forget to realize that the institution taking most of the money for health care is the insurance companies. And I heard on Business News that a lot of them are breaking the law because there's a limit to their profit, and some are like five times over their allowed profit, and nobody's even mentioning it. You know, nobody's talking about it. It's just, they're just getting hidden. But the insurance companies are taking all the money and not giving it to anybody. Thus, they raise up our monthly premiums.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors get paid less. Hospitals are going broke. But who's making all the money?
Sure.
It's all
sure.
The major institutions.
Who has committed fraud? Wasn't it, which one of the Bush boys, was it Jeb? I think it was Jeb. Every one of the the Bush sons, was involved in some kind of theft or fraud, and I forget which one it was. It was running. I think it was Jeb, the former governor of Florida. He was running this huge healthcare scam down in Miami. Now, because his name was Bush, he was never prosecuted. But then you have the guy from Tennessee, who's no longer a senator there. I forget his name, but his family ran a massive fraud. All the fraud and the thievery that is a result of so-called health care. And yet these right-wing bastards have the audacity to talk about a gatekeeper, that you'd have to deal with a government official, which is nonsense. But when you consider how much they have stolen and how many people have died, how many people have been denied service, not by a government bureaucrat, but by someone who works in healthcare company that's told, insurance company is told, deny the claim. You know, it's infuriating.
Right. I mean, it's so selective, and they're the one making out like it. If you look at the buildings, Aetna, and everything like that, they just go invisible, and nobody even gets mad at them. And we're Republican and Democrats just fighting between us, and we're forgetting the whole middleman that's causing this. Because in the older days, doctors made a lot of money. Everybody got health care. They had a sliding scale. But once they got in, they took all the money, and that's why everybody's going broke.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks, Steve. And you know, we need to remind ourselves that this screaming, this issue, this is not about health care. It's no more about health care than it's about mud puppies. You know, it is not about health care. What this is about is the health insurance industry. Who's going to deliver the insurance? This is not about the quality of care. It's not about the availability of care. It's not about rationing care. It's not about any of that. It's about whether or not we are going to allow these filthy, fascistic, so-called insurance companies to continue the theft. To continue the theft. Or if we're going to do something about it. We'll be back after the break.
Do you want to?
Before the hour. Back to your calls. Rufus is in Arcai, California?
Arcata.
Arcata.
Yeah, we carry you live, I was telling Kathy.
Oh, okay. Hey. On KGOE, right?
Right. I wanted to let your listeners know that if they haven't watched that Zeitgeist Addendum, they ought to see it. It's the second film, you know, the second DVD about Zeitgeist, and it goes into the Venus Project, which is worth your time and energy, you know, to, you know. The other thing I want to say was is I just reread George Jackson's Letters of a Soledad Brother.
Uh-huh.
And it needs to be read on the just like you read the 1984.
Mm-hmm.
It would behoove you to read it. And the last thing I want to say is I really believe the magic bullet brought down the towers.
Which magic bullet?
The one that killed Kennedy and everybody else down there in Dallas.
Yeah, that was still ricocheting around, wasn't it?
Still ricocheting around, and they just won't settle down, you know? It won't settle down until the truth all gets out.
Send me a link to...
I don't have a computer.
Oh, you don't?
No, but you can order that. You can order for free that called Zeitgeist Addendum. You can't order
that. No, not that. I've got that. Oh, my God, I've got all the Zeitgeist stuff. But, no, the George Jackson thing.
Oh, I can buy the book and if you
no no I appreciate that Rufus, but I'll get it. Letters of a Soledad Brother. I've read excerpts from that, but it was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, right. Well, they just reissued it with an introduction by George Jackson's brother's son.
Oh, okay.
Jackson Jr. And he's a very intelligent young man, and but the George Jackson is so prescient. He's so cogent, man, and just but really relevant right now.
Okay, I'll check it out. Thanks, Rufus.
Thank you so much for your efforts, you and Kathy.
All right, man, appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. From Danny and Melissa, right, Mike, my wife and I found your show about a month ago after renewing our XM subscription. We live in West Virginia and get slammed with right-wing hate 8 hours a day on our local station, and our local paper is owned by a man who ran against Robert Byrd. Needless to say, we were starved for some, quote, liberal media, end quote. We also love your musical taste, Pink Floyd, and your statement tonight about wishing Hunter Thompson was still around. Couldn't agree more. We couldn't agree more. Thanks for all you do. I wanted to leave you with a quote from Harry. I always want to say Harry Truman when I see HST. From Hunter Thompson's Hell's Angels. Here's the quote. A man who has blown all his options can't afford the luxury of changing his ways. He has to capitalize on whatever he has left. And he can't afford to admit, no matter how often he's reminded of it, that every day of his life takes him farther and farther down a blind alley. Very few toads in this world are Prince Charmings in disguise. Most are simply toads, and they're going to stay that way. Toads don't make laws or change any basic structures, but One or two Rudy insights can work powerful changes in the way they get through life. A toad who believes he got a raw deal before he even knew who was dealing will usually be sympathetic to the mean, vindictive ignorance that colors the Hell's Angels' view of humanity. There's not much mental distance between a feeling of having been screwed and the ethic of total retaliation, or at least the random revenge that comes with outraging the public decency. End quote. Danny and Melissa. Yeah. Yeah. Gotta have to go back and read Hell's Angels again, too. Dave is driving in Ohio. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to keep this real brief so I don't take up valuable air time. I haven't had the chance to log on to your website as of lately.
Uh-huh.
But for all the things that you put out, you mentioned different links, different people that write about things. Have you ever thought about grouping those together or putting them in a section to make them easier to find? And have you ever thought about possibly a section for recommended reading for mm-hmm. those of us who love to read?
Mm-hmm.
There's, I'm sure, lots of other books and articles that we would like to read. It would make information more readily available, things of that nature.
Yeah, that's a good
suggestion.
It's a good one, Dave. We used to, years ago, we used to do that, and I think Kathy and I are getting to the point where we should do that. And listen, you get a lot real staticky, but thanks, Dave. I appreciate your tuning in, and thanks for the idea. One of the things we used to do is every night put up links to whatever topics we talked about. Now, a night like tonight where I just ramble on. No, not really, because there's really nothing to link to. Not really. These are emails. A lot of emails came in today, and I just felt like reading some of them. But, and as far as a reading list, yeah, we really should do that, Kathy. I mean, maybe we can cut a deal with some online bookseller where every time somebody clicks on a link, we get 3 cents or something. That's a good idea. Thank you, sir. Mark is in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Mark.
How you doing, Mike? I really enjoy the program.
Thank you.
We had our local congresswoman who replaced Stephanie Tubbs Jones had an open forum today in Cleveland, and I thought it went really well.
Really?
I said the supporters outnumbered the protesters at least 10 to 1.
Good.
They did eject one individual who got a little bit out of hand.
What were the protesters protesting about this time? Same stuff. They're following the script.
They're just armed with ignorance. It's just so ridiculous. We're doing really good in collecting support, collecting signatures. We're out on the square in Cleveland every day. We're getting 150 to 200 signatures a day in support of health care reform. This president campaigned on reform, and he's going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going real well. I think we've got to stay encouraged.
Well, good. Cleveland. I'm from Toledo, so I know Cleveland, like Toledo, can be. You know, there's streams of violence, I should say, that runs through these cities up north. I know. I lived there. I grew up there, and it's good to hear that normal people are outnumbering the bandits, in your case, 10 to 1. I think that's good, right?
At least in over by Case Western today in the 10th District, we certainly did today.
Yeah, well, good. Well, thanks, Mark.
Real quick, Mike, have you seen the film The Hurt Locker? This is sort of off topic, but not really.
No, what is it?
The Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker?
Yeah, The Hurt Locker. It's a movie. It's got a lot of play over at the end of last year, and now there's thing it's gathering support for an Oscar nomination. It's about the Iraq War. It was directed by a female.
Uh-huh.
It's an intense movie, but there's one scene in the movie. It's not a spoiler alert or anything. There's one scene in the movie where a soldier is chasing, just sort of, he's angry and he's looking through town. He goes off out of the zone and he's looking for an insurgent, and he ends up in this house, a professor, an Iraqi professor's house, and the professor's trying to calm him down. And all of a sudden, the wife comes home. She's an elderly Iraqi woman in her 60s. And she is just outraged that there's this soldier in her home.
Mm-hmm.
And she just starts screaming and hitting him with pans. This is a soldier fully armed, and this is an elderly Iraqi woman. Just incensed that this person is in his home. And it just reminded me of the incident in Cambridge last month with the black professor and his outrage. I just don't get why You know, where is our outrage today?
I don't know. I think a lot of people on the progressive side of the aisle are afraid to show it, and I don't get that.
Well, you keep doing what you're doing because it offers a lot of encouragement.
Well, thanks, Mark. Appreciate you checking in. All right, take care.
You too.
All right. Hurt Locker, the Hurt Locker. Writing that one down. Oh, yeah, I'm reminded Danny and Melissa, whose email I just read, who live in West Virginia, immediately after this program, I realize you're listening on Sirius, but immediately after this program, if you switch over to the internet, our internet stream comes from White Rose Society, Ben Birch, and he also, as soon as we're finished here, he does a rebroadcast, Danny and Melissa, of a talk program out of West Virginia that is net-based, it's web-based. It's Bob Kincaid. He has a network. He and some other people called the Head On Radio Network, H-O-R-N, and they're based right there in West Virginia. And if you haven't heard his program, you have a chance every night right after we go off the air, just get on your internet stream. Go to whiterosesociety.org and listen, or just, you know, get on this stream, because this is, what am I trying to say? The web stream of this program is the same web stream that Bob Kincaid's program's on. So if you live in West Virginia and you want to hear one of your homeboys doing a liberal talk that is pretty outstanding, just... You know, stay here. Go to my website. Go to MikeMolloy.com. Click on the listen button and you'll hear it. All right? All right. Charles is in Eastern Connecticut. Hey, Charles.
Hello.
Hey.
I was wondering, you know, when did it become okay to threaten public and elected public officials?
Well, I don't think ever.
Well, these effigies are definitely a threat to public officials. And when did it become okay to scream and carry on a place to the point that violence could ensue the old not being able to scream fire in a theater routine also become okay?
Apparently,
it's okay to go see the elected president of the United States with a gun in your holster.
Yeah. Well, Charles, none of that has ever become okay. It's just that the fascists don't ask for permission to do these monstrous acts. And the day is coming, I think, I hope, when progressive people, normal people, are going to give them a serious case of red ass, a very serious case of extreme red ass. We'll be right back.
Gotta get good, while I can't stay here long now. Cause I'm tired of the way I've been dogged around.
Before the hour, thanks to the crew here. Kathy Day, whoops. Kathy Bay, Bed Bird, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget with Bruce Enberg. And you for participating. Email from Tom in Joshua Tree, California. He says, who were those bastards working for that got taped joking about killing off grandma? Yeah, that was Enron. Were they working for AIG, Goldman Sachs? Why aren't those tapes being broadcast? And besides, I don't think it's about racism, all the stuff that's going on. Racism is a symptom of a deeper problem, lack of self-respect. All these haters are Christians. What does Christianity teach? That the self is worthless without Jesus, and Jesus is white, and God is white, and good is white, and everything else is black and evil. It's about a complete absence of selfhood and a Limbaugh Beck social ideology that stands in for a conscious life. It's all puppetry and pulpitry, and every bit of it prurient and debased to the core. Tom. Yeah, I hear that. Michelle is in L.A. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I'm a big fan of the show, and I was watching Hardball today, and Lawrence O'Donnell was interviewing Katie Abram, who was at the Spectre Town Hall, and she was saying, we need to go back to the time of the founders, and, you know, I'm so worried we're becoming Russia and socialism and all that sort of garbage. And he was, like, asking her, well, do you want to get rid of Medicare and Social Security? And she was kind of noncommittal, but she was, there was just, I don't have the exact quote, but she was like, well, the federal government shouldn't provide anything, and maybe some charity should provide it. And it's like, well, how far back do you want to go? You want to go to a time of slavery? You want
to
have...
Yeah, like, you know, the answer to that is yes. The answer to that is yes, if this woman would have been honest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it's just really scary, and I really wish... Maybe we're just too big as a country. Maybe we could just let a red state go. Give people, the progressives in a red state, relocation money, and let all the red state people take Texas or whatever and have 49 states. I mean, I'm just so tired of them. It's like their big anchor keeping us from progressing as a nation. And, you know, it's just really frustrating. And also, I really appreciate your covering the California budget issues. It's going to be scary. Remote area medical is here in Los Angeles. They're here through the 18th. And all the cuts, you know, more and more people are going to have nothing, you know.
You know, I just got my current issue of The Nation magazine today. John Nichols, writing in The Nation, I think it's Nichols, has fairly lengthy, not real long, fairly lengthy piece about what has happened in California. And it's, you're right. It's frightening. I mean, it's scary beyond belief. I don't know how people in California, how you all are dealing with this. All the cuts, you know, from education, from home health care, from, aid to families, from, help for children in foster care. All of it gone.
It's going to be frightening. Next year is going to be a horror show. And I don't know. I hope that at least some of it will get overturned with the courts. They're trying to sue for gut because Schwarzenegger line item vetoed extra cuts, even more than what they agreed to. It's crazy. It's just so unfair.
Well, Nichols also said that people in California, there's a movement to try to put together a state constitutional convention.
Yeah.
To change all this garbage that has oh my God, all this crap that's been flopped into by people who are just either terribly misguided or really wanted to see California fail, just like in this on a broader scale, Beck and the rest of these people want to see the United States fall into chaos, and the reason they want to is because it's fun to watch. Beck is the type that would love to go to a multiple murder scene so he could, look at and smell the corpses. These people are crazy. They're just completely degenerate. And it's a shame that that's happening on a I don't want to say micro level, but on a state level in California, while it's happening on a macro level in the United States. These people won't be happy until the whole country slides into chaos. So that because it'll be a game. It's like a video game to them. It's just like a video game. Sons of bitches. Michelle, thanks. Appreciate you checking in, all right?
Take care.
Okay, take care. Ron is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Last night you were, first of all, I'd say thank you for your show.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for tuning in.
You were asking last night why there were no black people at these town hall meetings.
I did, yeah.
Well, I grew up in the Jim Crow South. I'm in my late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one lesson we kind of learned then is that unless you absolutely had to be around white people, you sort of kept your distance.
I hear you.
And you really wanted to keep your distance from angry white people,
mm-hmm.
and then you add a little bit more for angry white people with guns.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of the conclusion I came to because, you know, I've been living in the South for 45 years now, or 40 years now. So, yeah, and I've seen that. And I grew up during, the murder of Emmett Till and Cheney Goodman and Schwerner and you know, that whole thing. So, yeah, I understand that. And the conclusion I came to last night was that black folk just, what you just said, black folk do not want to be around white people when they're angry because it's very easy. It's very easy. It's almost genetic in most whites. If they're pissed off, really pissed off, and there's a black person around, it's like flipping a switch. All of a sudden, I'm not angry about I don't have a job. I'm not angry about I don't have health care. I'm not angry about this. That. I'm angry because that N-word over there, it's all his fault. I hear you, Ron, loud and clear. I'll see y'all tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Do you want to?